No, we're doing a hot nightmare mess today. Today is literally planning on a sticky note because that's the vibe, I think, it's all across the board. I think everyone's there, so we'll be fine. Welcome to You Can't Do That, a podcast about hockey. I'm Kelly, and the hockey, I think, would wear shorts in the sub-zero weather we are having in the three cities represented on this podcast currently, is Tom Wilson. I mean, like, I know all of them in a sense, but, like, I'm picking Tom Wilson because I think it would be funny because he's clearly cold. He's clearly and obviously his teeth are chattering, like he's got mittens on. Like, it's like, girl, like, you don't have to do this. But he has an idea in his head crystallized in middle school, you know? Like, he has to wear the shorts.
Yeah.
Cool guys wear shorts. I love that. I am Eva, and the hockey, I think, is the most likely to wear their shorts in the snow. Because that's a very specific thing. The guy who wears shorts during the winter. It's such an energy. And I'm going to say Austin Matthews. Oh, you know he's wearing shorts at inappropriate times.
Yes.
True. We were just discussing a video of him on rollerblades in very short shorts with his smooth dolphin legs. Like, you know, you're going to be like, Austin, like, I get it, but it is 15 degrees outside, you fool.
And you're from Arizona.
What's wrong with you? And a lot of things is the answer. So
plenty.
There we go.
Love it. I am Rave, and I think I have a different vibe for guys who wear shorts in the winter because I went to college in rural Massachusetts in the snowy, snowy Berkshires. And there, the guys that wear snow in the winter, it's like an ultimate frisbee. We're shorts in the snow. It's like very crunchy. It's very like, hey, I'm Ross, and like, I wear a cape.
So
like, and then they're like out there in their sandals and their flip-flops in the snow. And there was a kid called Owen who did this, and somebody was like, one of my friends was like, Owen, don't your feet get cold? And he goes, doesn't your face get cold?
Yes, it
but
does.
But that is like your fate. Yeah, exactly. It was like, yeah, my face is really cold. That's why I'm wearing three scarves right now. Anyway, I think it's Braden Holtby. For, like, opposite reasons of the foregoing.
It's all valid. There are different prototypes of shorts in inappropriate conditions. And that's so interesting because in Michigan, it's more like the guys who might or may not LARP, or play too many computer games.
Yeah, the overlap is there. No,
it's not the same as the hippies. I don't know. The hippies did it differently. They knew when to layer on their, like, three layers of dual scrubs during the ultimate frisbee tournaments. It's not important, but.
No, but it's an interesting distinction because I think the LARPers at my school were much more likely to wear, like, four layers of, like, medieval garb.
Fascinating.
I went to school in Portland, Oregon. I went to Reed College. Shout out all Reedies. And you guys all know that no one wore shorts because we were all afraid to show our bodies to the world.
Your legs are forbidden.
We are creatures of knowledge. We are creatures of knowledge. They are encased in black skinny jeans or bust, baby. I mean, it might be different now, but in those days, like, if you weren't wearing your black skinny jeans smoking outside of the library, like, who were you? Or not smoking, just standing there.
Still pretty cool.
I did come up with this one inspired by our PE teacher who showed up at recess to pick up my kids in shorts, and the kid said, they asked him why he was wearing shorts, and he said, because he didn't own any pants. Which hockey?
He doesn't own any pants.
That's what
wearing
he said.
Shorts. It is Quinn Hughes.
Yeah. It is. Yep. Oh my God, it is. You're right.
Yep.
That bitch doesn't have any pants. Anyway.
That's so funny. I really was anticipating, but, like, obviously not, but I was very ready for the answer to be because a hoe never gets cold. And I'm like, wow.
A hoe never gets cold.
Which is the same thing.
I would have really respected that. But today we will be starting our nonfiction unit with Andre Burakovsky, playing Analog Cho, and celebrating being bad at your job.
Yeah.
Our warm-up today is how to we're now teaching hybrid, so my whole life is school. So I was like, what warm-up can I do? And I was like, well, the kids are writing how-to books. And I was like, ooh, interesting. I'm going to tell you the topics, the real topics of my real students, which I think might be against my school policy. Don't tell anyone. I'm not telling anyone, like, their actual work, just the topic. Anyway, yeah. And you're going to say witch hockey. Yeah.
Love
Does
that.
This sound good?
So good.
Yes, okay. And legal.
Sounds so good and legal, just like everything we do. Good and legal. You can't do that.
All right, let's start it off slow, start it off easy with the two students in my class who are both doing how to take care of a cat.
Dmitri Orlov.
Absolutely Dmitri Orlov. Alex Galchenyuk on the second one.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. How about how to make eggs?
Gino.
Oh, okay. We're going to start that.
Hot egg discourse.
I was like, my brain went, well, you need a chicken, right? That's how you make them.
Do you ever have a thought that's so stupid that it's almost the smartest thought anyone's ever had?
That's pretty much all I do. Yeah, that one, it's full Gino. How to make an egg.
Let's go to a weird one. How to clean your house. This second grader knows a lot.
Nate Schmidt.
Interesting.
Nate Schmidt. And he's handing it out to every single person he's ever played with.
Yes.
For the love of God.
Please learn.
This is called a dustbuster.
I love that. I feel like there was another answer that's burbling in me and it got mixed up and now I'm not sure what it was. It's not like Radko Gudas on the Panthers quite, but maybe it is.
It's not that far off.
It's something in that vein. You see what I mean? Like, yeah. Someone who's there who's just like, yo, you guys ever heard of this wild thing called cleaning your house a little bit? Let's give it a shot.
It's crazy.
Right. And it's not full dad, right? It's not like Patty Marlowe on the Leafs back in the day. It's not that.
Be like, how to seven successful steps on how to keep your room clean and be a good contributor
productive
to society.
Member of society.
No, it's Radko Gudas is like your uncle whose house people are like, wow, you have such a grown-up house.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, you know what? Sometimes I like don't want to wash the dishes, but I put them in the dishwasher anyway when I'm done with them. So they don't, it's this wild thing. Life hack.
Crazy. Crazy. How about how to draw a unicorn?
Yes. Aww. I mean, Andrei Burakovsky is already in my mind, but... Yeah. Or Jack Eichel. We know he knows how to draw a unicorn.
Well, I was going to say, it's got to be a friend of Jack Eichel.
Right. He doesn't have friends, baby.
No,
he has Jack Eichel.
Oh, bud.
He's going to have fun soon, so that's nice.
Yeah.
I just heard him in an interview saying after he got his surgery, he went out to dinner with his parents that same day. He was like, it was no fucking big deal, basically.
Ugh. Well, good, I guess.
That's fine.
Anyway.
Let's close it off with how to be good at skateboarding. I want to make this clear that it's not about how to skateboard. It's about how to be good at skateboarding. And that apparently has to do with a lot of like accessories.
Mm.
Right. There is a right answer to this one.
I mean, if we're looking just at our caps, boys, that's koozie.
Yeah.
Oh shit, his fucking white sneakers.
Yeah,
that bitch.
It's him being like, it's look, I'm not here for the fundamentals. I want to learn how to do a cool trick, and if that involves buying some really cool sneakers, oh well, what can I do?
I'm in.
I twist my arm.
It is not important for me to actually know how to do this.
No.
I just do the trick.
Putting in the work, not critical. Mm-mm. Doing something Mm-mm. impressive and cool, yes.
While wearing a important. Dope outfit.
That's it. Yep.
And a tie as wide as my head, which yeah. is what he likes to do.
Let's start off this week in Caps with a fashion roundup. Oh. Specifically, I just want to talk about that outfit that Koozie had with his fucking spiky sneakers.
His like, Valentino rock stud slip-ons.
I hate him.
Oh my God.
That's really all I had to say.
Pinstripe suit, wide pinstripe. Pink tie, white mm-hmm. bajillion dollar bespeckled, bepointed white van slip-on looking motherfucking... It hurts my feelings, and I wish he'd stop.
I love when he grasps for an aesthetic, because like
I know
that he knows that he's not quite there, but he's like, I have one thing. I have these Balenciaga sock boots, and I'm gonna put them on, and I'm gonna kind of do it. The like ones with the toes. He had those briefly. He can't quite get there. He doesn't really want to buy another shirt, I think, is the issue.
Shirts are
boring. He's got three shirts.
Yeah.
And
he's
two
a
suits.
Tourist, but not that kind of tourist, right. You know? He wants the luxury, but he doesn't want the effort.
Shoes.
Easy. And you bet that bitch has fucking special little acrylic boxes for each pair of shoes he has.
Absolutely. Son of a bitch. Yuck.
That was a fun topic. Here's a also hilarious topic. We played super bad against Boston.
Did we play bad or did we play hilarious?
We played hilarious. But not only that, that was our fourth straight defeat. Good for us.
Party.
We did it. Again. Commedia dell'arte, if you ask me. It's funny.
Couldn't agree more.
Look, I mean, they were all fucking hilarious dipshit losses. And as we've said many times, if you're gonna lose, lose comically. And
exactly.
Hot dog, did we.
Boy, did we. I think it is funny. I think the things that they say about it are also funny. I think it's just it's January, man. It's COVID. None of this matters.
Well, and like, here's one thing I'll say is that I've been thinking this for like the last several weeks as I've been watching these scores on these games have insane disparity just across the league. It's like, oh, here was another game that went to 9-4 and here was one that was 7-0. And I'm like, one maybe could infer that right now conditions are not optimal for our peak performance.
Yes. It might be inferred half the teams are playing AHL goalies. It's not fair to them.
I do maintain that you're going to lose in the season. You're going to have a bad streak. Do it funny like we did.
Exactly.
Nick Dowd said after this Boston game, we're losing all styles of game right now. Which I think is delightful because it's so true. We found every way to lose that we possibly... It's like,
what
do you
was your favorite
comedy?
Loss?
The Wild. We're
talking 100%
about that.
It was the Wild. Yeah. 100%. That was the top tier loss.
I will say something about going from our 2-0 lead against Boston to how bad we shit the bed was very funny. But, I mean, obviously the impeccable physical comedy of Minnesota cannot be beat.
I can't wait to get to that. But I agree that, like, putting Connor Sherry on Hattie Watch right at the beginning and being like, oh,
first
you're going to have a fun time, Connor. Short King, and being like, we're gonna ruin your day. And
he's a Gemini.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine, but I just think it's funny that that's what we did.
he was expecting that, you know. Some part of him was like, well, it could also go hilariously wrong.
Six straight goals.
It was such an embodiment of we worked really hard for 10 minutes. And then that was somehow not the entire hockey game.
Weird.
Funky. What? We didn't stop after that?
This was not like, we do sometimes have loses that are like, wah-wah. Like they don't feel
some
good.
Are not fun. Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
And I think that these were fun. And that might just be because I'm like not that engaged. And like I'm dissociating 90% of the time. And so like I don't... have emotional reactions to things, but it's working for me, so it's fine.
It's fine.
And I did think it was funny that Brad Marchand tried to pull an Ovi, get hit in the face, suddenly like become super cyan Marchand. I also saw a picture of baby Brad Marchand posted after this game, and he looks like a little 40-year-old man. He looks like that airplane safety diagram of a baby.
A weird draft class, I gotta say.
God.
What a fucking weird draft class.
Was he 06 with...
I believe so, yeah.
He was with Nikki and...
Yeah. And Claude Giroux.
Oh, that's cryptids all the way down.
Yeah. That was a weird year.
06 is a
haunted year. A weird, bizarre year.
Phil Kessel that year, too.
Yeah. 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 Wow. Think about that one. Put that in your mind palace for a second.
No, thank you.
A lot of weird stuff happened in that little bog of a draft class. Eric Johnson went first overall.
Eric Johnson.
Yeah, do you want to hear some of these? These are hilarious. Okay.
The one who looks just like Gabe Landeskog?
Yeah, Gabe Landeskog's doppelganger.
Eric Johnson went first overall, our poor man's Gabe. Jordan Stahl went number dose, I believe.
Sure, great.
Maybe? Yeah, I think so. And Jonathan Taves, Nick Less, Phil Kessel. We have a bunch of busts. Sorry, guys. Patrick Berglund played, you know.
God, that's such a bizarre grouping of people.
Kyle Okposo was high.
Kyle Okposo
was like number seven, number eight.
Claude Giroux, Nick Foligno.
Bizarre. What a bizarre grouping.
Michael Neuwirth. Just like wild situations. Jeff Petrie? Really?
Go
he seems 8,000 years old.
What year was it?
Brad
it was
Marchand
every
that
year. Brad Marchand went 71st.
He's small,
Okay, yeah. No, yeah, that makes sense.
Fascinating.
Leo Komarov?
What?
Sorry. Okay, this draft class is cursed.
It's just, there are a couple of draft classes within, like, the modern era of recent memory where you're just like, what the fuck was going on that year? Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to me when they crop up like that. Like, that one, and then, the other one with, like, Brett Connolly.
Yeah.
It's just, and then some other years, you're just like, okay, yeah, it's just.
Yeah, these are boys from Canada.
There's some guys in a room that's, like, no memory of this place. I've never been here. Fascinating.
It is fascinating. Do you want to talk about the loss to the Wild?
Maybe.
I'm sorry, is it the 3-2 shootout loss to the Wild?
We got a point, so.
We got
in reality, didn't we win this game 4-1 because we scored?
We did
all the goals.
We did score all the goals.
We scored all but one of the goals.
Hey, friends, do you want to tell me about? Oh no, it just teacher voice kicked in. I'm sorry.
I thought it happened on purpose.
It did not. It just happens in my voice. Who wants to tell the beautiful story, the epic tale, the terrible blunder?
Well, I'll do the preamble.
Our son. Okay.
I'll do the preamble, and then I think Eva should take the story. Okay. The preamble is that we were already goofing. Like, we were already kind of goofing. Kuzi had kind of tried to score on our own net already, and it was like, oh, phew, thank God that didn't happen. And the game went on. And then what?
Then everyone's dear friend, yours and mine, Carl Hagelin, achieved something that is very rare to achieve. Let's give him props. This is something that, according to commentators, you don't see very often. You don't see every year or every couple of years even. Did the magic move of we got a delayed penalty, we pulled our goalie, and then we got an own goal on our empty net.
He passed back to a D-man that was not
sure
there.
Sure wasn't there.
Kuzi lunges across the ice. On the call, Joby is like,
Hagelin to the loose biscuit. Oh, look out! Look out! Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no! Oh, no!
Oh, no! Oh, no!
It was like happening in slow motion.
That could only happen to Carl Hagelin. And there have been many curses. There are many, many funny curses. There's sad curses in this league. The witchcraft is goes deep.
Capricious.
And wide. And capricious. Yeah. Absolutely. But this particular, the hilarity of this, that he can get like a open net breakaway and cannot score, but like he can score like back passing on a delayed penalty is so funny. And it's so hard to tell like what he's trying to do in that moment. Like, I assume it's a set play and there's supposed to be a D-man there and there isn't. So, like, maybe it isn't his fault. But, like, it just looks like he's like, what if I did this?
You know, sometimes if you're, like, trying to do something delicate and you're holding it with your hands or something and your body just jerks, you know, and it's like, I'm going to do something completely wrong right now. It looks like that visually.
It's like that urge where you're like, what if I put my hand in the fan?
But and like, if you your hand is already going towards
it's already
the fan.
There. Exactly. Yeah.
And then you're like, girl, ooh, no.
too late.
But it's just, watching it happen, I don't know. I felt like I was watching fucking Charlie Chaplin fall off a ladder and invent comedy for the first time. Like, it was just, to me, framed and staged so perfectly. So, just hands on your forehead going, oh,
yeah.
No. To me, it was great comedy. So, I will embrace it warmly.
Yeah, and it helps that, like, hags... There are people that if this happened to them, I would be like, oh, God, emotionally, he is never going to recover from that. Like,
yeah.
There are people.
Hags can handle the curse.
Hags will be fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Hags is just shaking his beautiful hair out and going right back to it. Like, it's fine.
I'm pretty sure he just leaves work and he is just like, okay, that's done now. Like,
I don't think, no thoughts.
Honestly, huge respect for that.
Yeah.
Leave your job at your job. Mm-hmm. It's not your life.
Just leave your job.
Wow, what a nightmare.
We are icons of quitting on this podcast.
Hit the bricks.
Quit more stuff.
The other thing I wanted to mention was not actually a loss, hilariously, although we did lose 5-1 to the Blues, LOL. Like, love to have fun. Okay, to be fair, we don't have any of our children. Like, our children are all out. But we also were given a gift along with the comedy goal, which was a Garnet Hathaway mic'd up,
really?
Which you can find on the Washington Capitals YouTube page. And nothing like super exciting happens. I just love to hear him jet around.
Bones day. It's going to be a bones day.
And also he says repeatedly about how, like, he's in the middle of these guys and they're all speaking Russian. And he's like, I'm just trying to learn.
Oh my God. Stop.
I'm mic'd up. I don't know Russian. I'm trying to figure it out as we go.
What a nice him. Guy. He's just
he's our little spark
so
plug.
Good. I love him. I'm so happy he's here.
Known by ally me. Garnet Hathaway.
I have not watched the mic'd up yet and I am excited to now.
Yes. I just love that little man. He's a nice little man. The other nice thing I want to talk about with the Washington Capitals was there was an article in The Athletic that was, you know, before we started losing as much, we were still losing, but like not as much. But it was about Laviolette being like a record, you know, wins man. Many wins for the man. But the interview had some things that were heartening. There's this quote for Connor Sherry. He's a very honest coach. He lets you know where you stand. He lets you know when you're playing well. He lets you know when you're not playing well and what you need to fix. That's huge in coaching. Sometimes you get sat out or you miss a couple of shifts and you don't know why.
Ugh.
Which I think is pretty common.
Can I say, as someone who had a really bad, like, borderline abusive boss for a long time, and part of that was like getting punished for things that I had no idea what they were, no one would tell me. And I was like, I don't live in this body anymore. And then I had a boss who's kind of a fruitcake, but also is like very straightforward about like, here's a thing. Oh, you didn't do this thing? You should do that thing. Like very like concrete and straightforward. And it made such a huge difference.
It does.
I still don't think people should have jobs, but
they
know.
Shouldn't. But if you're going to have to like go through that whole charade,
right.
Everyone yes. involved should be committed to making it less real,
a little less sucky.
Just
here's the other
straightforward.
Thing. Here's the other thing that is responsive classroom approved check mark, which is actually going to be a theme of several times I talk about a coach in this episode. On I think it was last Wednesday team meeting, Laviolette wanted the players in COVID protocol to be involved because they had been for many reasons, but they'd been in isolation for a couple of days. So all of them hopped on to FaceTime and just sat in the locker room with everyone. And Laviolette said it was just to say hello and have them be a part of it. And I think that's nice because you
good.
Feel super
hybrid
out of
coaching.
It. Yeah. It is hybrid coaching. Shout out Laviolette. I know it's tough with a camera and everything. You got to plug all the stuff in. It's a lot going on. but the AGM, who's been there a really long time, said that there's no guessing about him, and that he says a lot of times with the coach, if you don't communicate, the player is sitting there wondering, why am I not playing, or what do I have to do? With Peter, LOL Peter, there's no guessing. You know it's pretty black and white. He'll bring a guy in individually, not in front of his teammates, and show him on video, hey, listen, this is not how we play. This is how we do it. It doesn't matter if you're the best player or if you're on the fourth line. Everyone is held accountable in the same way.
That sounds really nice.
Wow. Peter LaViolette has read Ask a Manager, it sounds like.
It sure does. Peter the Violet.
Sounds like a rare, decent boss, so.
We're sending him a mug.
Yeah. World's okayest boss.
Yeah. He is not terrible, and that's good. Is there any other important Caps news we should mention?
I just want to mention one thing, Rave Sachet's Koozie Watch. I just want to mention his power play bomb that he did, which is like not how he usually scores. And he did a big swing, a big old one-timer, full OV from the other side of the ice. It was nice, and I liked it. Thank you for your time.
Very pleasant to watch, yes.
Very pleased. Just aesthetically, just like, bing, like one of those swingy moguls that you put on your desk. I liked it.
Let's start this week in the NHL. Eva, do we want to start it off with Eva's Detroit Red Wings corner? Or do you have no updates for this today?
I don't have too many updates for us today, but I will say that the young ones continue to go, and I am excited for it. But no, I don't have any updates.
Okay. I traded for some of your young Detroit men in NHL 22,
nice.
And they're doing really well in my franchise mode. Shout out to them. They're really fitting well on my lines. Anyway, as a GM.
They're great. Add them in.
In Kelly's Canucks corner, I have a very important update for everybody. There was a Bruce Boudreau mic'd up.
Ooh.
The Canucks are really good with mic'd ups. They often do them. They do them a lot, and they often have subtitles. They almost always have subtitles, which is really helpful. And this one had a lot of good content that I loved. Mostly, like, the stuff, it was similar, like, responsive classroom approved stuff, where it was, like, he was skating a couple of guys extra, and it was, like, Brock Besser and Pettersson and one other guy, and he was having them do what he called like a mountain skate, where you like skate back and forth between the lines, and it's really like a very hard exercise. And after it, he's talking to them and he's like, I have guys who are coming back from illness do this to see if they're ready, because a lot of the times guys think they're ready, they say, oh yeah, put me in, coach, but they're not ready. If they can do this, then they're ready. And he gives a reason why he is doing this thing.
Imagine that. So it's not just feeling like you're arbitrarily at the whims of someone who's telling you to do something for either a valid reason or just because they feel like it. You're actually involved in the process. Imagine it.
Yes. That was the other thing I liked about that mic'd up, is whenever he was telling the guys about a drill or something, he was explaining why. Like, you should go here because blah, blah, blah. It wasn't just like, go here this time. He gave a really specific reason. This is why you should go over here. It will be good in this situation. And a lot of really positive reinforcement, including at the end of the practice, he's doing a little pat on the shoulder of Elias Pettersson and being like,
did you know your last practice before you were sick, you were the hardest working guy on the ice? That's really good. That's going to get you places. I'm telling you. Okay.
Elias Pettersson has not been doing amazing lately. He's still up in his own head. No one's doing amazing. I'm shocked he's alive, like doing any hockey at all. Like, it's amazing that he's able to go out there and skate around without just lying down and being like, nah,
no,
don't want to do that anymore. I'm good. You got me here. But anyway, that was Kelly's Canucks corner. It is nice to see them looking happy and smiling instead of being super miserable and bleak.
You do love to see that.
Yeah. Have either of you guys seen the Jacques feature?
I saw bits.
I haven't. I saw the quote about how everyone called him Pretty Boy his rookie season, and it was really hard for him.
It's so hard.
So hard.
It's like so hard to be beautiful.
And I know I'm paraphrasing that
Be
funnier than it is, but it was also very funny. Just
it's
because
funny
it's
anyway.
I'm sorry, but if you're like, it called me mayonnaise boy energy of it. Like, like I was called Pretty Boy.
It was really hard because, like, people don't take you seriously when you're very beautiful.
I know. It's just such, like, exo-Jane, like, do people not like me because I am so beautiful energy?
Why don't other women like me?
It must be because I'm gorgeous and they're jealous.
Like, I don't want to be controversial, but, like, I am really pretty. But, like, I wish people wouldn't call me pretty because it's, like, I'm also really smart.
Interesting.
People would call me like some pretty boy hockey player that couldn't play. I was the first overall pick, and my first year I struggled.
Well, Jack Hughes was doing his best to detract from his natural beauty future. Yes, I've known about it for a while because, as you guys know, I love Emily Kaplan. I listened to her podcast. She mentioned it a long time ago, and it hadn't gotten put out there, but here's what I know about the behind the scenes of it, which is when she shows up, like, with the production crew, Jack Hughes is not even at his apartment. All the production crew shows up, and Jack Hughes like texts them being like, Ty Smith can just let you in, I guess, and, like, just get comfortable. Like, 2 hours later, Jack Hughes shows up. It was at practice or something, I don't know. And he's starving, so hungry, and Emily Kaplan was going to go somewhere cool, I think. And he was like, no, we have to go get subs. So they all had to go to the sub shop to get subs.
What a dork.
And not only that, but they scootered there. And that's in the video. Yeah, they're all scootering in the video, scootering here, there, and everywhere on the bike lanes. No. It's amazing. I can't tell you how much I loved it.
Jack Scooter Hughes.
Scoot, scoot.
Imagine being Emily Kaplan, such a talented, wonderful, professional, interesting journalist, and being like, okay, Jack Hughes, I guess I'll get on the bird scooter and go get some firehouse subs with you. Sure, man. Sure, man. Like,
I guess I'll scooter to a hoagie with Jack Hughes.
Sounds like a rom-com. Like, this is like the setup of, like, a harried reporter's bad day before they find out their fiance is having an affair and sets them up to learn something about life and love. I don't know.
I just imagine Emily Kaplan just popping up mid-podcast to be like, no.
Not with
no.
Jack Hughes. It's the better person.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, not with this dweeb.
No.
He is looking pretty dweeby, which is cute.
He's just the incident that happens to the protagonist in the first three minutes to illustrate what a clusterfuck it is to be a working woman in these modern times.
Because you also have to babysit these fucking teenagers.
Little Jack Hughes needs his tuna sandwich, so we're going to go.
He does. And then he's going to do his fantasy football. You know, you've got to go along with him while he does it.
And then he is really sleepy, so he's going to lay down.
So sleepy.
Iconic.
He's also in his full, like, you know when he was really aggressively trying to be a dirtbag?
Yeah.
Trying to be, like, Quinny and being like, this will make me cool because I don't want to be pretty anymore.
I can brush my hair with a pork chop.
And so he's got his, like, scraggly hair and his beanie, and it's like, honey, it's still not giving the same energy.
No, it's not. I'm sorry, but some people have to make a disheveled mood board, and some people are born looking like something terrible happened to them in the night, and I don't think that the pretty people should try and take that from us.
Stop appropriating our culture, which is looking terrible. Just look like you look, Gabe.
Come on,
Gabriel.
I love it that he makes himself try to look. It's so cute. It's like,
I know, it's adorable.
That's a good try, buddy, but you're still pretty. Sorry.
Just Rachel Lee cooking it through life, putting on glasses and being like, I'm the ugly sister now.
Look at me, I'm quirky. I have a cracked phone screen. Don't look at me.
Stop calling me pretty, bro. Can't you see my overalls are splattered in paint?
God.
Also, Nolan Patrick vibes.
Huge Nolan
Massive.
Patrick vibes.
Ugh, he's another repeat offender of that.
Yeah. Although I think he has enough greaseball in him that
he
like,
does. It's different.
It's different. It's like a natural part of his personality as well. And so it's okay. that he's really good looking.
He's less affecting it and embodying it a bit more, but it's still very much like, no, dude, I'm not pretty.
I look just like you, dude.
Like, I look just like Eric Johnson.
I wear my hair in a ponytail. Yeah. speaking of Eric Johnson, did you guys see the Ask the Avs Desert Island thing?
I saw of it. I have not watched it.
I saw it.
I knew it would be amazing.
It is amazing. They're asking the Avs, who would you least like to be with you on a desert island?
They want to be this podcast so bad.
They said they super do.
First of all, yes.
Who do you think they said?
Don't they all say Berkey?
They must say Berkey. Who would you least like sitting next to you when you have a domestic injury? Who would you least like with you on a desert island? Stop stealing our shtick, the Avs.
I liked that Mikko Rantanen, though, as he's saying Berkey, he's like, oh, wait, but Berkey's very good for the entertainment. So Berkey can do a one-man show.
I mean, you do want someone with good vibes in an emergency, but it can't be, like, the only person.
You know what I would like, though, about being stuck on a desert island with Berkey is just, like, watching him try to catch a fish with his hands. Like, I picture myself, like, sitting on the sand. I'm wearing, like, an old sailcloth that I've turned into a dress. And Berkey is just fucking clapping in the water. It's been 2 hours. He's not getting tired of it. I'm just in a meditative state. That part sounds nice.
Just be like, that's not how you clap. It's not how you do it.
You're not that works, bud.
You're not.
It's not. You gotta. Not.
No. Okay.
The joke is that we struggle with clapping at the beginning of the podcast every week. So.
Well, we're catching fish in the water every day.
It is us. What are we if not fishermen in the seas of contents? Clapping our little, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Clapping our sandy little hand.
Catching the fish so you don't starve. Yeah, it's good. It's a good allegory.
It's perfect.
I did want to discuss, I'm sad we haven't seen it because I really want to discuss the edge of irritation that just Kale McCarr is just exuding with every fiber of his being. Because here's the thing I've learned about Kale McCarr. This bitch is a book bitch. He is one of those bitches who's like, I've read a book.
Oh.
I've read 3 to 5 books.
Remember when Braden Holtby was like, I love Hemingway.
Yeah, we're like, okay, honey. You love having Hemingway on your shelf?
I've heard of a writer.
But apparently when he was in college, he was like, oh, I'm going to assign myself extra books. So you know this bitch gets along with Nate McKinnon.
Dweebs. Mm. Love it.
Dweebs. Anyway, he's annoyed about it.
You know how on Twitter sometimes you'll see like a tweet that's like someone being like just, you know, raging against something. And you'll be like, it's a quote tweet. And it's like, you'll never guess what this is about. You know, I saw one and it was like that. He's such a fucking overrated piece of shit. Blah, 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 blah. Lazy bust. And it was, you'll never guess which NHL player this is about. And it was Kale McCarr. Oh, so funny. Just like, wow.
It did not age well.
People say anything on the internet.
You can say whatever you want. You know what I will say? I think we kind of miscalculated when we said that Kale McCarr has Mormon wife energy. I would say that Kale McCarr has Tumblr girl energy, and that those two things are closer than we want to admit. Like,
Mormon influencer energy,
no,
I would say.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's like...
Is it like trad wife energy?
No.
No. Mormon influencer, I'm saying like Mormon influencer...
Because I know Mormon influencer.
I know now.
Deeply.
Is like very indie, quote unquote. Like it's taken a lot of the old Tumblr aesthetic and like kind of reappropriated it for a different experience.
Like ex-Mormon in Austin. But like... Not that. No, I said it out loud. It was completely wrong. It's there.
It's going to come there. It's going to come.
It's there. I see what you're putting down, though.
You see what I'm saying, though?
There's something in there.
It's like cool
there.
Mormon wife. Yeah. What I don't know.
However, giving the opposite of this energy was Tyson Yost at the end of this video, who like seems high because I think that's just how he seems in his life, but I love it. And he's talking about how Berkey... He needs like luxury. I think he's saying like he wouldn't survive in it. He needs to be the baby. Like he said something like that. I can't remember right now what the direct quote was.
A fancy little lap dog.
First, there's no way that guy's doing good in the wild at all. He needs to be pampered and babied. And, he's just not surviving on an island for sure.
we are aware he needs a big, nice captain to ensconce him in a fluffy duvet. Thank you.
I cannot emphasize enough that I literally met his personal shopper and he didn't know how to use a Tide pen or that you can buy different shirts. It's a
fascinating creature. Fascinating boy.
And the thing is, he's like a vet with the ring still.
Guy in the room.
He's like in his late 20s.
He's the experienced guy in the room.
He's still baby.
And everyone just rips him in interviews. I do love that energy. I think that's crucial.
I think he loves it, and so it's perfect.
Oh, for sure. It's lots of attention. I mean, like, if there is a question, he wants the answer to be Andre. Like, who blank? It doesn't matter what the rest of the question is. It doesn't matter if it's, like, who's going to make you lose your absolute fucking mind the soonest because they're an absolute insane nightmare, even though you love them so much.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, me! They picked me!
Andre!
That's just, it makes me happy. I like it.
It's delightful.
You know, the boy knows what he likes, and it's to be the special boy.
And it's everybody.
The other thing I guess we should mention, because I think it's happening right now, I haven't checked Twitter in a minute, but I think it might be happening right now, is that the Sharks were like, we don't really want you around anymore, but like in a more permanent way to Evander Kane. So instead of having him play in the minors, they're trying to get his contract avoided for breach of contract, essentially. But unfortunately, that means that other NHL teams are sniffing around. However, I will say the Athletic article I read about it had a quote from one GM who is anonymous, who just said, like, no way in hell. So it's not every GM, thank God. But Ken Holland said, and I think, quote, people make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
And he believes really in second chances.
Second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh,
ninth, 12th, 80th chances.
He's out here trying to ruin Connor McDavid's life.
Look, you will say, in a sport that gives almost no black players any chance at all, maybe... Is it good on the systemic level that Evander Kane gets 900 of them? No, that's still bad.
Because his transgressions, if they were different transgressions, they would not land him back in the league.
Exactly.
Well, and the thing, too, is this is so clearly, like, constant bad choices being made.
Yes.
Like you know there are some people that you can just see when they... are in that tailspin of, like, they're gonna find the most chaotically destructive thing to do and they're gonna do it. And you're gonna have to sit back and go, wow, I didn't even think of that. That's fucked up. So,
because
when the Sharks were like, oh, we're avoiding his contract, I was like, I wonder for which reason. Could be any of them.
Right?
You know?
Same.
So, like, if that's the vibe a guy is giving off, like,
I must say, I love that Ken Holland's first instinct is like, how can I make my locker room worse? Like, how can I?
It's bad right now.
It's bad, but it could be worse.
Maybe it's a strategy. So you break, you're like, you think it's bad now, fools. I'm going to light this on fire. And then when I put out the fire, it's going to feel really nice in here.
We've got coaches in Edmonton going after players and players going after coaches and Connor McDavid giving snarky comments to the media about how he can't do everything, which I think he's been giving the same speech for about 5 to 6 years. I don't know how long this bitch has been alive.
At least 5 to 6 years.
Yep.
Forever and mere moments at the same time. Yes. Somehow.
Sometimes. But yeah, I've heard that this might be happening right now. So, condolences, I think, because that's going to be a mess.
Yeah, everything I've heard is, like, it's not everyone, but it's a lot of teams what's interested. And I'm just like, well, that doesn't feel good, does it?
Yeah.
Now? Ah.
I wish that those teams would look at the San Jose Sharks and be like, they sent their top player, their highest scorer, by a lot to the AHL because they didn't want him anymore.
He's
because
he was causing too
many. He was causing too many problems.
You have to assume that they didn't just do that on a whim and be like, "Hey, LOL, we don't really care, whatever." Like, I'm pretty sure at that point, if they're saying like, "Yo, we gotta get this guy out of here at any cost," you should take their word for it. That probably is a liability.
Maybe.
I don't know. Tony D'Angelo's doing amazing in Carolina.
I also heard that Carolina was interested because, like, apparently they've committed to suck it.
Sure.
Great. I have one more topic for the NHL that's not, like, it's good and bad. Like, it's good because it's good stuff, but it's bad because it's sad in life, because life is bad. You know what I mean? Before we get to our game.
Okay.
But I want to lead off with, you know when Budweiser shows more commitment to the Hockey Diversity Alliance than the National Hockey League that says they're, like, all about them, but they haven't
this league
answered their calls for, like, a full calendar year?
Yeah. So
yikes.
So, like, six guys from the Hockey mm-hmm. Diversity Alliance put out a series of ads that are kind of personal.
It's called the hashtag Tape Out Hate Anti-Racism Campaign, but it's also a bunch of Budweiser commercials because you got to have someone to fund you sure. if their National Hockey League won't talk to you. So there are a bunch of them. They're really, yeah, so they created a two-minute video that incorporates their real-life experiences with racism in hockey. And there's a censored and an uncensored version. The uncensored version does not blur out the racial slurs. The censored version will be shown at Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. I think it just was. And it will continue on. It's a really, really great piece. This article I'm reading about them on ESPN, Greg Wyshynski did it. It's called Hockey Diversity Alliance Unveils the Tape Out Hate Anti-Racism Campaign, is really good because it talks to the actual players. And here's the part where we don't have to talk about the fucking National Hockey League, mm-hmm. who would not let players wear NHL gear in this commercial sure. because they didn't have enough time to review it.
Make copyright.
I can't make this make me look good because I'm going to look really bad.
Terrible.
How many times are they going to shoot themselves in the foot till the foot falls off?
They'd have a gun for a foot. Their feet are just facing each other and one foot is a gun. And
oh my God. And the other foot's also a gun and they're pointing into each other's muzzles.
I hate them.
How is it this stupid and bad? And when the multinational beer company is doing better,
and they reached out, the multinational beer company asked them,
like, "Good God, girls,
can you believe that shit? The multinational beer company was more progressive."
Okay.
What? Budweiser says.
Budweiser.
Things are looking a little racist in your guys' spot.
Interesting.
Like, should we address this? And they're like, "Don't bring me into this. I have lawyers into copyright." What the like?
You know what I love slash hate about this is that during like the George Floyd protests and sort of like the summer of like the reckoning summer kind of for the NHL, they would not stop putting out these milquetoast
yes.
statements about
yes.
conversations.
Yes.
And that was the word, right?
Having conversations.
Having conversation. It was like, "Will you do anything?" And they were like,
committed to the dialogue.
Conversations. Exactly. And so this is literally that.
Like, and
this
they're not even committed to the dialogue. They haven't exactly. talked to them in a year.
This is what I'm saying, is that, like, they said they would do the absolute least, and then the HDA was like, "Would you like to do the absolute least?" And they were like,
no!
How dare you?
No, we're gonna frame you for murder.
Get out of my school!
I want to talk about what the players have been saying
good, yes.
in this, because I think it's important to bring what they're saying as well. So the piece and the HDA in general feature Matt Dumba, Nazem Kadri, Anthony Duclair, and Wayne Simmonds, our king, our son, our father, you know. I don't know how we relate, but like, it's important.
A
he's like
of,
an older
he's
brother.
He's critical. That's
like.
All we know.
He's
yeah,
critical.
Crucial.
He's
doesn't
my cool cousin that, like, exactly. I'm scared to talk to.
Yes, but he's super cool, and I know he would hurt someone for me.
Yeah, he would.
And I would hurt many people for him.
And he would give me a ride to the 7-Eleven if I wanted an ice cream sandwich.
Yes.
Or is he, like, uncle that's, like, weirdly close to your age?
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
But, like, something he's, like a little bit older and too cool to talk to. You know,
he's not too cool to talk to you, but you are scared to talk to him.
You think he's very
fine.
Cool.
You are just like, he seems cool. Anyway, so Nazem Kadri said of this whole experience, I can't remember how many incidents I had to go through, especially at a super young age. These things become traumatic. I'm 30 years old now, and I remember things that happened to me when I was 10. Luckily, I had the mental toughness to get through it all, but not everyone can. Since mental health has become such a big issue, it's important to reach out. There was nothing like this around when I grew up to help people see things from a different perspective. And Akeem Aliu kind of shared about how this whole thing got started, the HDA got it started, and it actually started kind of privately. He says, a lot of people don't know this. We just started a text chain and got on Zoom calls with about 30 players of color in the NHL and the AHL sharing stories of our experiences. It got to a point where we decided talking amongst ourselves wasn't enough because we weren't really helping anybody during that. We needed to form this alliance to show other kids that we made it through this and we're here to help them. Just like, also the fact that they're saying, you know, they have to take it outside of this group because they're not helping enough. It's like, you guys, you lived through horrible things. People should be helping you, bro.
Yeah.
Akeem Aliu said, it's performative data taking and nothing concrete. Everyone that watches hockey knows there's a deeply rooted issue. There are incidents that come up often that bring these issues to the forefront. The NHL is a fence rider. They want to keep their old school fans happy while dipping their toe in the water and pretending they support diversity when we're so behind all other sports. Boom!
That's right. Boom. And he's right, and he should say it.
Yup.
Yes.
No, I was going to say, too, and it's such like a posturing of big organizations get so threatened when it feels like it's not their idea. So even if I believed that they had wanted to commit to like this conversation, which obviously they didn't, bullshit lies.
Yeah.
They want the conversation to come from them.
Right.
Having the benevolent idea that comes from them.
How did hockey help you out of your situation that you were in as an urban child? Like, that's what they want it to be.
Yes.
Yes. Ugh. It makes it so transparent that at the heart of any dialogue or momentum that comes from within the league itself, coming from the top down, it is purely about their own self-interest. It's just about how can I use this to position myself in a way that makes myself like the person in charge of this dialogue. And none of it's real. It's not, none of it's real. It's not, it's terrible. But it is a good example of just doing shit with your peers.
Yes.
That's how things get done. Right. And if it scares the bosses, you should be doing it,
first of all.
Yeah. Did all those kids walking out of their school because no one's fucking doing shit.
Yeah.
In New York City high school. It's the same kind of thing. Don't ask for permission. Just fucking do it. Like, it's not your problem that these people are so behind.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, it sucks that it falls to them to have to do this, of course.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, again, similar situations where people who are being in some ways marginalized by these bigger systems that have capitalistic interests and don't care about people, they're just disposable meat.
I also think, like, it's very tempting to be like, the NHL specifically is bad, which it is and sucks, but like it really does go to all levels of hockey and hockey culture, as in this incident, which I don't, we shouldn't dwell on, but a junior player on Prince Edward Island heard someone on the other team call his teammate a racial slur, so he skated over and slashed him on the leg, which is exactly what you should do. I think that's great. And he was suspended 2 games for slashing, and the kid who said the racial slur was suspended 1 game for embarrassing us or whatever. So he gets on Facebook, this kid, what was his name? Keegan Mitchell? Something Mitchell. He got on Facebook and was like, does this seem like bullshit? Because I kind of think this seems like bullshit. And in response, his junior B league, whatever league he's in, suspended him indefinitely.
More! Keegan Mitchell.
Keegan Mitchell. I got it. That is just jaw-dropping, but it is exactly the same pattern of, like, the real problem is you fucking talking. Stop talking about it. Keep your mouth shut. don't. And like this kid getting a one game suspect, like we take it very seriously.
Hashtag some tolerance.
We really don't. We want to take this out of our game.
This does not belong in our game.
Hockey is for every our people one.
Remember when people would tweet like at the beginning of like the Trump administration when people would be like, this is not America.
Oh, like, oh baby.
We've got some news for you.
Bad news.
News you can use.
No, it's just, again, it's such obvious evidence that, like, it's all about protecting themselves. Anything that they come out with that says, we'd love to address the problem of racism or the problem of sexism or the problem of homophobia. They would love to address the problem in a way that helps them, not in a way that fixes that problem. They want to address it to make themselves look good.
Yeah.
Which is really so interesting about this, too, is that the marketplace does expand for them if they address these things in a meaningful way. Right? Like, it really sincerely there is,
their
if you want to reduce it to that.
Are shooting each other.
The foots are shooting. They're shooting foots. Because you could get so much money. Can you imagine the rainbow jerseys that we would buy?
Oh, my God.
The rainbow Nicholas Backstrom 19.
I am unemployed, and I would drain my bank account.
I don't know. There's the, like, so fucking black designers, do. Like, doing, like, a February jersey. Like, it's so simple to make money off of simple, simple people. Like, the expansion is good for you, but they're like, but it isn't because of Todd in fucking Scarborough. Like,
we don't want to make Todd mad.
Todd will
Todd
be mad
is 65
at me.
Years old and has been a hockey fan his whole life, and his son hates hockey.
His son hates hockey.
And him.
And him. And he just sold his car dealership, and he doesn't have anything to do all day. And Todd is going to yell at us on Twitter.
And who will protect the Todds?
Who will protect
who will
the Todds?
Who will protect Todd?
Who's thinking about Todd?
Gary Bettman is. That's who. Gary Bettman, Todd Defender.
That's a nice note to add on. I did want to briefly say, though, at the end of the article, they mentioned, I don't know if you remember, but when the Hockey Diversity Alliance was formed, they were like, we're going to wait a minute before we do anything. And they said, like, they were shocked by how popular they got so quickly. And they were just, like, a bunch of guys who didn't know how to do anything. And they were like, I'm not sure if I don't want to do all this stuff.
Hey,
I don't want to do this.
Don't really know what we're doing yet. Hang on.
We'll get some accountants and shit, ma'am. Okay, this game is called Creation Zone because that's the name of it on Chill.
She loves to play video games. She's
so,
a gamer.
In the Creation Zone, you can create a player, which is how I made Alexander Semen, because for some reason they don't have the rights of the KHL, so they can't get any Russian guys. Anyway, but they also have create a team. And that is what we're really going to focus on today. Ooh. I have my list of random players. I'm going to pluck 3 or 4 of them out of here, and it's your job to build a new team around them. What is the name of the team? What is the team's mascot? What's the color scheme? And where is the team?
Oh, hell yes.
Are you ready?
Fantastic. Well, first, can we do a quick aside about the Chell video game, which is that the men in it are so ugly. They don't let you not make your man ugly. And
it's homophobia.
I think it's homophobia.
I absolutely believe it's homophobia. They're like, I don't want you to make these guys
They're
hot.
Like, it's not that we can't render hair. It's that
we
won't. Because that would be gay for you to look at a man's hair. Because
we know what you little nasty freaks are going to do with a man's hair.
You guys, this You're is a out. Cursed team.
Worn it up.
Ooh.
I'm excited.
I don't endorse this team, but here we are. We have Tom Wilson, John Carlson, Austin Matthews, and Justin Williams.
Oh, I hate this. This is the senatorial interns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. This is like a medium well steak team.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the Arlington something.
Junior investors. It's just
the Arlington
investors?
Youth
I like
business
it.
Club.
And they're just like, bro, have you heard of keto?
Their mascot is that one poster that everybody had of like the two girls in their underpants, you know, where they're just sort of like staring at each other.
Yeah.
You know, one. That's the mascot. It's just two disinterested waifs.
Beautiful. A chrome loft penthouse.
Yes. Yes.
It absolutely is. I have a team that's a banger.
Oh, great.
Okay. I can already tell, like, some of the players are, like, questionable, but, like, it's a banger. Like, you just have to admit. We have Jacob Voracek.
Nice.
Quinn Hughes.
Nice.
William Nylander.
Nice.
Brady Kachuk.
Nice.
And Andre Burakovsky.
I love this team.
I want to see it. I want to watch it. I want to enjoy it.
Okay. So where are we located? What's the vibe?
Shitty boy corner.
This is like a low quality water park.
Yes. Like glass action park.
Yes, yes, yes. This has full class action in like Jersey vibes.
Absolutely Jersey. Not New York Jersey, Philly Jersey.
Yes, Philly Jersey. Absolutely. That's what I'm getting from this. Just a bunch of jacked, empty-headed, know-nothing fools doing fool things in stupid clothes. It's amazing.
Yes.
I think I have a name.
Yes.
I have color scheme. Go ahead with the name.
I think it's the Haddonfield Slip and Slides.
I love it. And the Slip and Slides are going to go full 80s, and they're going to wear hot pink and turquoise, and they're going to like it.
I adore it. I think their, like, crest should be that slide from, like, Class Action Park that went in a loop-de-loop that people would just get stuck in. Just a tube of a water slide that was just like, yeah, go down it. You'll go around fine. Like a matchbox car. And then kids would just get stuck and broken in it. I'm seeing it so perfectly in silhouette.
I can see it exactly. And there's a hockey-playing skeleton dangling upside down from the top of the loop-de-loop. And it's on fire because it's cool.
Oh my god, I love it.
You guys, I have another banger. My jaw dropped as I pulled these out in succession. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Alex Ovechkin.
Beautiful.
PK Subban. Mm-hmm. Wayne Simmons. Yevgeny Kuznetsov.
Sumptuous banquet dinner.
Hell yeah. These guys have to be in a major urban area because it's got to be awesome.
Yes, if medieval times was high, high class somehow.
Wayne Simmons is not going to be caught dead at medieval times. Actually.
Fancy medieval times.
If his friend, if he.
I think he'd go to get, like, wasted and have fun.
Yeah.
And if PK and Ovi and Kuzi are going and they're going to have. I think it would be fun. Where is it, though?
Oh, God. I mean, because it's, like, a city that people don't appreciate enough, like, I would just replace the Blackhawks with this team. Like, I think
that's
Chicago
honestly
is
very
such a great city.
Yeah.
And it's, like, kind of, like, it's kind of, like, got a little scrappy side, but, like, it's high-end.
Also,
it's luxurious.
I know nothing about Chicago, but Prohibition comes to mind for some reason. And just, like, that kind of situation.
Exactly.
And they have this team as fucking Prohibition vibes.
Oh, my
Chicago
God.
Bootleggers.
Oh, my God.
Speakeasy
oh,
vibe.
My God.
Chicago
yes.
Bootleggers.
The Chicago Bootleggers.
Oh, I love
Chicago
it.
Chicago Bootleggers.
I love it.
Oh, my God. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's it. They're just hanging out in a, like, deeply red wallpapered
plush
room full of smoke and fine port wine, acting like absolute ding-dongs, wearing fedoras. Oh, it's terrible. I love it so much.
Why don't we live in this world?
I love this so much more.
Because life is cruel. Oh my God. I want their logo to just be like big crossed turkey legs.
Ooh, yep. Hell yes.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Yep. Their mascot is that bull on the back of PK's Gucci cape.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's Taurus vibes.
Yes. The turkey legs would have to have, like, Louis Vuitton print embossed on across them, though.
It's high-class turkey legs.
Exactly. It's like, you cannot afford these turkey legs.
Yeah.
But they're not making you feel bad about it. They're just enjoying the expensive turkey legs.
And the crest is my treat in Latin.
Yes.
It's on me.
Yes. Phenomenal.
That is my treat. That is a treat for me.
I really like to think about that, and it would be a much better hockey team for the city that I now reside in. And also, you could just keep Marc-Andre Fleury. You know he'd enjoy that.
Perfectly. That's exactly the vibe. Oh, I love that for him. Trade him to this team that we invented.
Fantastic.
He doesn't have to go anywhere. Stay in Chicago.
No, just stay
Hang out with me.
Exactly.
But we're going to have to trade Dylan Strome. Sorry, bud.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he could, but like,
no,
I'm not
can't.
Sure he could live up to the luxury.
No, I don't
His idea of bootlegging would be, remember on like, I Think You Should Leave season one, where the guy is trying to get rid of all the mafia equipment for planning the baby shower? He's like, I can bring the fake meatballs and 50 fedoras. That's what it feels like to me. Just being like, yeah, okay. Nobody wants these.
For our final team of the night, I've got some fucking children. All right, we got Brock Besser, Jacques, Trevor Zegras, Matthew Tkachuk.
Oh, evil kinder care.
Eva, you were hitting it out of the park.
Right. It is evil kinder care.
Yes, it is.
It's Midwest.
Yes, absolutely. This is like if Iowa City got an NHL team.
Interesting.
Because Iowa City is like an interesting place.
I went there my sophomore year of high school for a writing camp. So I don't think I got the full picture.
It's like very Midwest, but like has, I don't know why I feel like it would be there. It's like a city that has enough going on to warrant an NHL team, maybe. More so. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, Eva, you have talked about places in Michigan that this team is from. Like,
yeah.
It's like not even a city. It's like a boat.
It's a bar on a boat.
They're just from up north.
They're not allowed in the bar.
They're just from up north. And up north, you can probably go in the bar. It's fine.
They're the up north kinder cares.
Yeah. Up north kinder care. Oh, God, it truly is.
And they all rollerblade.
The mascot is a rollerblade.
Yes.
It's definitely a rollerblade that's on fire.
It's a roller. It's an on fire rollerblade on rollerblades.
And it has like a Smirnoff ice sticking out of it.
Zoom, zoom.
That's the motto. Zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom. Zoom. That is totally the motto.
What's their goal song?
It's
Kids Bop Wop. It's Kids Bop Wop. It's just...
If they're really from Northern Michigan, it's that horrible Kid Rock song that makes you think it's Werewolves of London, but then it's not. I'm sorry, but that's what it is.
But it probably is that.
Unfortunate. Yeah. It's you can't get your ass on a pontoon boat in Northern Michigan without hearing that, because it has like the line in the chorus. It's like something 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 in summertime in Northern Michigan. So
yeah,
it's that whole thing.
Wow.
Thank you for joining us, everyone, as we created like a dream team and some not nightmare, some like middle nightmare teams.
Just a bad dream. Just a weird dream.
Just weird dreams.
One man's dream is another man's nightmare. So.
Yeah. I hope you guys enjoy them. They're gifts for all of us.
We made them for you.
It's on us.
I'm never going to stop thinking about the bootleggers, though. My God.
Oh, my God. That's so correct.
All right, well, that's it from us for now. You can find us on Twitter at YouCan'tDoHockey. You can email us at YouCan'tDoThatPod@gmail.com. Our producers are Danielle Savoy and Laura Reinecke. Our theme music is by the mysterious Break Master Cylinder. Our cover art was designed by Kay Wilson. And thank you for listening. I've been Kelly.
I am Eva.
And I'm Rafe.
Yay.
What's our team name? What's our mascot?
Ooh.
It's a dumpster.
It is the
on rollerblades.
Yeah, it's the dumpster diving t-shirt, like that dumpster. Yeah.
It's the dumpster divers,
yeah. It's the USA dumpster divers.
Yep.
But we still get the fun 80s colors.
Exactly.
All teal all the time.